Converte nos, Domine, salutaris noster. King David prays in the Psalms, convert us, O Lord, our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, there was a long sede vacante before our Saint Cornelius was elected Pope after the martyrdom of Saint Fabian. And during that time, there was a scandal in the church, the persecutions. The wealthy and the well-connected, someone got the idea of going to see the officials and bribing them to give them a document called the Libellaticus, like a little paper or a little book, saying that they had worshipped the idols when really they hadn't. So that way, they thought they could have their cake and eat it too. They could escape the persecution and at the same time stay in good standing as Catholics. The clergy of Rome during the Sede Vacante was disgusted with this, and there was a great controversy. What are we going to do about these people? And some held that they could never receive the sacraments again. And some held that, well, they could go to confession and then that would be the end of it. Saint Cornelius, when he was elected Pope, he said, no, they could come back, but they would have to do penance. But at the same time, he saw them doing penance. It was very strict. Can't imagine anyone doing that today. That is to say that they wore sackcloth, and they would stand outside in the porch, never be able to come into Mass, and they'd have to fast. And that would go on for years. So when he was enthroned, he had compassion on these poor sinners who had already started their career of penance, and he allowed them to back into Mass and to receive the sacraments. Saint Cyprian was a bishop in Africa at that time, and the Africans were very strict on these matters. But he wrote to the Pope in sympathy and support because the Pope had actually suffered a schism, a certain novation. He said, oh no, that's too easygoing. We're not going to go along with that. And there was a split in the church in the third century. Saint Cyprian wrote to support the Pope, and he had this wonderful, very strong idea of the idea of being a Catholic and a Catholic under your bishop, and how the church is everything. You can't be having all these splits. Well, he went so far as to say, however, that you couldn't even have a valid sacrament given by a heretic. But we know that's against Catholic teaching, that non-Catholics or even a Jew could validly baptize. Well, Dom Guéranger says that he expiated for his error there by his martyrdom, and he died very beautifully and bravely as a martyr. And his martyrdom was like a pontifical mass. That is to say that first publicly he was vested, and he prayed and he preached, and he was held in such esteem by everybody because Saint Cyprian had been a leading lawyer in town. He was a rhetorician, a great professor. He had a hard time converting because he was a pagan and he lived a worldly life, but he did convert. And when the time came for him to shed his blood for Christ, his deacons removed his tunic, and then the subdeacons came and they bound him with linen bands, his hands behind his back and his eyes. And then the people came forward and they spread linen cloths all around the execution area to catch the blood. And then they very solemnly gave 25 gold pieces, Saint Cyprian did, to the executioner to show no hard feelings. And then he was put to death. That was a very, very beautiful death, whereby, as they say, he expiated perhaps some of his own weakness. From the vantage point of eternity, Saint Cyprian would certainly agree with another saint we had. She's the great purgatory saint. Her feast day was just yesterday or the day before, Saint Catherine of Genoa. She was from my family in the 15th century, well-to-do, and was forced into a marriage that was, called an arranged marriage, and it wasn't a very happy one. In fact, she was chronically depressed for years, and she tried being pious, and that didn't work, and then she tried being worldly like her husband, who wasn't faithful at all, and she got even unhappier, until finally she experienced what sinners do experience by God's mercy, his compassion. And she cried out one day, no more of the world and no more sin. And her way of making up for it was to start volunteering in a local hospital, and hospitals back then were gruesome affairs, and a lady of her status, she was of the aristocracy, would never be found in a place like that, but she was. And the longer she spent there, the holier she got and the more involved she got in the work of the hospital. Her husband eventually went bankrupt and ruined his health with his sinning, and she received him back there in the hospital, and the two of them lived chastely there. And when she wasn't taking care of the sick in a very down-to-earth and practical way, mystics are like that, then she had visions, and she wrote a beautiful treatise on purgatory. She's the one who talks about the happiness of the holy souls there. She says, after heaven, there are no souls happier than the souls in purgatory, because they know that they are going to God and they want to get rid of the stains of their sins. Like St. Gertrude, she held that a soul in purgatory wouldn't want to go to heaven until she were all purified, because the soul is so conscious of all of her stains and her faults and her sins. And so she went there to the hospital, and there she became a saint. And she leaves us a very interesting doctrine about the immensity of sin, the goodness of God, and the need to make reparation. Probably a theme that runs through our saints today is the importance of humility, that the surest way to keep ourselves in God's grace is to have a humble compassion for those who have fallen. This kind of a divine compassion converted Catherine and made her a mystic and the great saint of purgatory. When we remember our own sins, we can't help, I hope, but be humble. And humility, of course, is the key to everything. There's another saint today I'll just mention in passing. And she was a princess of England in the 10th century. Her mother was forcibly removed from a convent by King Edgar and forced to marry her. And forced to marry him, rather. Edith was born about a year later. And when she was 1 year old, the mother returned to the convent with King Edgar's permission this time and lived again as a nun. And this little child was raised in the convent. When she was 15 years old, it was time for her to make her choice, either profess her vows or to leave the convent to go back to the royal court. And she had the king, her father, on one side with gold and jewels in the chapel of the monastery, and then on the other side was her mother, who had a prayer book, the Psalms, and a veil. And she was to make the choice. And everybody and all the nuns and the people there all were praying for her that God would show one, this is a quote, one still at so wayward an age what life she should choose, as an interesting insight to how the medievals looked at the teenage years. It was considered to be the time of choosing, but also a wayward age. But she opted to stay with God's grace. The Roman martyrology says of her, this Saint Edith, she never left the world because she never knew the world. And she lived then a very short but a very devout life. She died, I think she was 24, in the convent. She, like all of the saints, however, had a bit of a character about her. And one time a visiting bishop reproached her for the way she was dressed, because their custom was, because it was a royal abbey, she wore a fine linen wimple and a beautiful soft black wool habit. And the bishop, who was a rather rough-looking fellow, reproached her as being proud. And she answered him that God's judgment can penetrate outward appearances. And then this is a quote from her. She says to the bishop, pride may exist under the garb of wretchedness, and a mind may be as pure as possible under these vestments. Just as pure as you could be under your tattered fur, Your Excellency. So she sort of put the bishop in his place, which is probably not a bad thing to do, but not too often. The beautiful lesson of humility comes from our saints today. Humility with a certain compassion is the key to our conversion. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.